Turning your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. I want to read the first four, I want to read that first chapter, just 14 verses long. And before I read it, let me preface my reading with a couple of comments. The purpose of the book of Hebrews is to show the believers of that era who had just come out of Judaism that to follow Christ was clearly the most advantageous thing to do. There was a tendency on their part to pull back into the old ways. But the writer of Hebrews clearly states that Christ is superior to or greater than anyone else. So let me read that those 14 verses. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? I think that Hebrews is just absolutely unique in the way the writer presents the Lord. And you may not agree, and if you don't, you don't have to, but I think Paul wrote it. And while there's no clear-cut statement in the scripture that says Paul wrote it, at the same time, it certainly sounds Pauline to me. I want you to think with me tonight. Christ is better. You notice that phrase there in verse 4, being made so much better than the angels. And there are about three occasions here in this the book of Hebrews where he is compared to others and has been determined to be better than them. in verses 1 through 3, here in Hebrews chapter 1, it speaks clearly that he was better than the prophets. And I want you to think about the prophets. Just think for a moment. Who are the prophets? You know, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and some of the minor prophets. We call them minor prophets, but they were tremendous prophets right on. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. I mean, and this, the Bible says that he was greater than those prophets. You just think what that means. I mean, I suppose it could be taken two ways. He's greater than any one of them, but I'd like to take it this way. He's greater than all of them put together. And because there's nobody to compare to the Lord Jesus. I mean, after all, he is God revealed in the flesh. You can't get any better than that, if that's even the right way to express that. let me give you a couple of reasons why. In the book of Isaiah, we have several references here Isaiah spoke these things, and I want to remind us, Christ is better than Isaiah. So Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Isaiah 14:12-15 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'll be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Isaiah 53:5-6 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." I mean, think what Isaiah is saying about the Lord, just as a tremendous statement, honoring him and telling what he took, that you and I could get saved. And he goes on in verse 6 and says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Jesus bore our sins. He really did. And then in Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let us return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." I'm telling you, this the book of Isaiah just exalts the Lord Jesus to the highest, and rightfully so. And yet I remind us that Christ is better than the prophets. And I just, in thinking over this, I just couldn't. I mean, all this that I've just read to you, the virgin birth, the son's responsibility, Satan's downfall, the rejection of the Son of God, his humiliation, a plea to believe and experience forgiveness, all that is there. Then I think about Jonah and his preaching in Nineveh, and here's what he preached: "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall perish." The results were that thousands were saved. And that's all he preached: "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall perish." And yet thousands were saved, a city was spared, and God was marvelously glorified. And I don't know about you, but I hear about Isaiah, and I hear about Jonah, and I hear about these other men that I mentioned earlier. And then I remind myself that the scripture says, "But Christ is better than the prophets." And that is just astounding. I mean, he was absolutely uniquely different from, and rightfully so. I mean, I know, and you know, that Jesus is God the Son, and so naturally he's going to be the best. There's no question about it. But it's just interesting the way the book of Hebrews brings that all out. So that first point was, he is better than the prophets. And then I draw your attention. Let me read. I know I read it once, but I'm going to read it again. Chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 4 through 14. Because here it says, he is better than the angels. "And being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? That's just a tremendous testimony here, here in the book of Hebrews. Remember this, angels were created to do the service of God in heavenly and earthly areas. And they are his servants or his messengers. The angels have had the wonderful privilege of revealing marvelous truths to men at many points in history. Let me give you six illustrations of that. Let me see here. What did I do? an angel appeared to Gideon in Judges 6:11, and I'll just read this. I typed it out for myself. Judges 6:11 says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So an angel appeared to Gideon. You think about the significance, an angel coming and speaking with Gideon. And yet I remind myself, but greater than the angels is the Lord Jesus. Secondly, an angel appeared to Joseph, Mary's husband, in a dream. This is Matthew 1:20, and here's what is recorded there. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. You remember, Joseph thought seriously about having Mary killed because she turned up pregnant, and they hadn't been together, and he didn't understand, but an angel appeared to him in a dream and told him, it's okay, Joseph, take Mary as your wife. Everything's fine. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And so, think about this. Here, an angel told Joseph that, and yet a greater than the angel is the Lord Jesus. Boy, I tell you, I want to hammer that thing home till we really grab hold of this. Then here's another one. The angel appeared to Mary, announcing the birth of the Savior. This is Luke chapter 1. And I'm going to turn back to my Bible for this, a bit of lengthy portion. Luke 1:26. Luke 1:26 through 38. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And that verse right there is such a classic. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Boy, just hang on to that. Verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Her attitude is absolutely outstanding. Listen to her. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. You do with me as you will. And she said, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Just a tremendous testimony. And an angel took that message to Mary. But a greater than the angel is the Lord Jesus. And boy, I'm telling you, this is just a tremendous truth. Here's another thing. The angel, or angels appeared to the shepherds in Luke 2:8-11. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Can you imagine being out there in a pasture with the cattle, and an angel appears? But I guarantee you, every one of us would be shaking in our boots. But the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And what a blessing. The angel got to give that message to those shepherds. You remember what the shepherds did? Immediately after the angel and a whole host of angels disappeared, they said, let's go to Bethlehem and see what's happened. They believed what they heard. And yet I say again tonight, but a greater than the angel is the Lord Jesus. So, just a tremendous truth here. Think about this. Angels came and ministered to Jesus after his temptation. I mean, Jesus had a rough time, if you please. You may say, well, he was God. He could take anything. True, but he's still man. And he felt, he hurt, just like any of us would hurt. So the angels came and ministered to him after his temptation. Matthew 4:11b just simply says that. Angels came and ministered unto him. And then the angel appeared to Philip and gave him directions. And this is in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. All these illustrations about these angels telling different ones what's coming, and yet I remind us again, a greater than the angels is the Lord Jesus. We just need to really, I mean, these angels were blessed of God to be allowed to do what they did, but greater than they is the Lord Jesus. Let me go back to Hebrews chapter 1. And read verse 4, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And then verses 8 through 12, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years, listen, and thy years shall not fail. Jesus is forever. Well, it's just a tremendous truth. We want to remember that how just marvelously wonderful the Lord Jesus is. Then here in Hebrews chapter 3, let me read verses 1 through 5. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. You know, think about my third point is that Christ is better than Moses, the servant of God. First of all, talked about the prophets and then the angels, and now pinpointing Moses. And Moses was a great man of God. There's no question about that. I mean, God spoke to him face to face. The scripture says mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes. Jesus, the Lord spoke with Moses, but Moses was just a servant, and Christ is the Son. Let me remind you, and watch this, just a brief review of Moses' life. He is born of Amram and Jochebed in Egypt. They were Jewish slaves, and he should have been killed as a baby according to the law. But he had an ingenious mama, really did. You ladies, you need to fight for your kids. There's no question about it. I put down here in my notes, spared miraculously by a brave mother. There's no question about it. That's exactly what Jochebed was. He was found by Pharaoh's daughter in the Nile River. Think about that. Think about Jochebed taking that baby, putting him in a basket, and putting him out there in the water. But that took faith. And it took courage. And so Pharaoh's daughter found that baby in the Nile River and took him home, raised him. Can you imagine? But he never, he was raised in the daughter's palace, and let me just read that portion to you from Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 24 to 29. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to get a hold of Jochebed, and I'm going to ask her, are you guilty of having taught Moses who he really was? Because, you know, she took him and raised him for Pharaoh's daughter, remember? And so I think, personally, that that's what took place. I think that Jochebed taught Moses who he was as a little boy before he left her and went and lived in the palace. And when he grew up, he never forgot what his mama had taught him. And he identified himself with the Israelites, practically at the risk of his neck. And then verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. I'm telling you, this whole scenario is just absolutely amazing. The way God blessed and protected. So he was raised in the daughter's palace, but he still knew who he was, and when he got to the point where he could do what he knew he needed to do, he did it. Watch this. At 80 years of age, you know, you and I think that's getting to be an old man, but at 80 years of age, he was called of God to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And There's no question about it. Moses loved his people. He loved God. He prayed for his people earnestly. And God spoke face to face with Moses. Tremendous, tremendous. You know, but then I remind us again. But remember, Moses was the servant. And Christ is the Son. And the Son is far above the servant. Well, just a tremendous truth. I think this the book of Hebrews so honors the Lord Jesus. And if we were to give an invitation tonight, this is what it would be like. You know, we really need to serve Christ all our life. I don't think there's a time when, unless health keeps you from doing things, but so long as you have health, for the Lord's sake, serve Him. And I oftentimes fret about what's going to happen to me, and but I'm going to keep on going as long as I can. I'll promise you that, because the Lord did for me what no one else could do. He gave His life that this sinner could get saved, and He did. And I've enjoyed serving the Lord all these years, and will continue to serve Him as long as I possibly can. So serve Him in any capacity. You know, you don't have to be, men don't have to be preachers in order to serve the Lord. Men of all sizes and shapes serve the Lord and should. So serve Him in any capacity. Serve Him in your trade or in your work. Bear a testimony for Him where you work. Serve Him as a wife. You ladies that are married, serve Him as a wife. You men, serve Him as a husband. Serve Him. Catch it? Serve Him as a parent. Raise your kids for the Lord. Insist. Just simply insist. This is the way it is. And you don't care what the kids think. We're going to do it this way. And serve Him as a child. I mean, you know, we come down to one thing, and that is serve Him, right? We need to serve the Lord. And I tell you, people, if you're lacking in any of these things, if you've kind of hung back a little bit on the Lord, and I know this is Wednesday night, so we're not inclined to be the kind that don't respond good, because here we are on Wednesday night. That's quite a testimony in itself. But still, if there's in your heart a lack of anything, whether I've mentioned it or not, if you need to get things right with the Lord,